Blog Talk Radio.
Of the brand known as Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson, and we are rolling here on Blog Talk Radio, and also in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. Great website over at CageJunkies.com. Make sure to check out that website anytime you can. Great articles, interviews, fun. What more can you ask for? The great folks at Cage Junkies have been great to the show, and we're proud to be affiliated with them. 347-326-9749 if you want to be a part of the program. We also have the chat room open for any of you that want to chime in there. I'll be in there throughout the show, as I am on every show here on Carson's Corner. We welcome everything. I'm very excited about today's guest. I really am. This is a bit short notice. My friend Scott Zur over at MFC does a great job. I'm telling you, they have it down pat there. I love working with the MFC because they really make an attempt to outreach to the media. They really do. They make it easy to interview their fighters. They're hardworking guys. They're very, very intelligent in terms of the promotional aspects. And you know, it's a pleasure. I've interviewed many of their fighters. Never had any problem whatsoever getting any of their fighters. Never had any problem interviewing Mark Pavlich. I mean, Mark Pavlich has been on this program dozens of times within the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And it's a pleasure. It really is. And they know how to do it. They have it down to a T there. And they have an event coming up May 10th. Okay, MFC 37, and I'm very excited about the main event. Smolino Rama, who is 20 years old. Can you believe that? This kid is 20 years old. He's undefeated. He's got all first-round stoppages. He's fighting another guy that I'm familiar with is Chris Barnett. He's fighting Chris Barnett, who, again, his only loss, Chris Barnett, I believe, was to our good friend Eric Prindle. And both of these guys are young heavyweights. As I understand, Chris Barnett is relatively young as well. And they both have similar records, although, as I mentioned, Smolino is undefeated. This is going to be a great fight. It really is. And I've really become a fan of Smolino Rama. I really have. And he joins us right now. Let's not keep him holding anymore. Welcome to the program.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. A lot to talk about, but you know, as I told the audience here, you're really a breakout star in the world of MMA. 20 years old, you're relatively new into your career, but you are really, really flying high. I mean, you have such a promising career. Let me ask you, how do you feel about your MMA career thus far?
I'm really happy. You know, I got a great team supporting me. They all have my back, and great coaching staff. They're always there to make me better in every aspect of MMA, and I couldn't be happier. Everything's great. It's going the way we planned, and hard work pays off. I'll tell you guys that much.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was 20 years old, I was training too, but I never had the potential career that you have. At what point did you decide to go into MMA, and do you have a background in martial arts? How did you gravitate towards the sport of mixed martial arts?
You know, I always played sports growing up, whether it was soccer, basketball, football, volleyball, whichever, swimming. And I just always had that competitive drive, and MMA was just the ultimate sport. From the second I seen it, I fell in love with it. And now here I am training, you know, a lot of years have gone by since I started training and fighting, but here I am now, number one in the country, fighting for the NFC title. Could not be more, you know, blessed with such talent and such great people around me in my life.
Exactly. You actually left your home country of Greece, migrated to Canada, and I got to ask, you know, Canada, the NFC is synonymous with MMA up in Canada. As I was saying in the beginning of the show, Mark Pavlich and the folks over at the MFC have done a great job. How was your training up there in Canada? Who are you training with, and how is that going?
I'm training in Calgary specifically, and I'm all over the place. You know, I started out of one gym, but I build relationships with a lot of coaches all over town, and I'm going to different gyms to get different parts of my game together. So, you know, I do my boxing with my coach, Vlad Goldstein, at Independent. Addison Gonsalves, where over at Perth MMA, he does jiu-jitsu. Max Merrick does my conditioning and MMA at Canuckers. Sheldon Merrick and Master Dab, Elite Weapons Muay Thai and Fitness. You know, I just have a great team of guys, like I said, and these guys are helping me, you know, get better at every fight and progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I couldn't be more ready for this fight. Training has been great. Craig Hudson's out here right now training with me, my second opponent that I fought last year. And couldn't be happier. I have great training staff. Everything's going perfect.
You've said that you've changed quite a bit since your debut. You're a better fighter. How are you a better fighter?
That's just a given. With all the hard training and work I put in my camps, and just every day, I haven't stopped training. I've taken maybe a couple weeks off, but I've gotten better in the aspect of just being more comfortable and less nervous about every fight. And I've learned how to train better and better every time I've gone to camp. So, for example, I started out my first camp not knowing what I was doing. Now I'm over here fighting Chris Barnett, and I've been through that a bunch of times, and I've adjusted my schedule, and I've changed up numerous times to get it to a point where I'm being very comfortable and I'm not overtraining, and I just feel great, and I'm starting to feel better losing weight and gaining more strength, more athleticism, speed. Everything's just going through the roof right now.
You know, Smolino, you look at fighters, young fighters that come up, and you know, typically MMA fighters are very, very good in a particular area, whether it's wrestling or whether it's striking. You'll see a majority of their wins, you know, via wrestling or striking or whatnot. But you look at your record, and this is what really solidifies the fact that you do have a promising career in MMA, is your wins are either from knockout or submission, which points to the fact that you really have become and are becoming a well-rounded fighter.
Well, I started out training MMA specifically, and my first coach was Max Marin, and still is one of my coaches here at Canuckles. And, you know, we learned, the first class I ever been to, I learned a grappling move, I learned how to punch, and I learned how to take people down. So from day one, I was learning MMA. And I just feel that I'm a well-rounded fighter just because I work everything at least twice a week, whether it's jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, Muay Thai, and aside from that, weight, cardio, and conditioning.
You see, that sort of makes sense, because if you learned MMA all at once, then it would make sense that you were a well-rounded fighter, because, like I said, a lot of fighters have a wrestling background, and sometimes they could be just overdeveloped in one area of mixed martial arts. And so, you know, it just seems that it was almost a blessing that you learned it all at once. You're really culminating into a very well-rounded fighter. Do you think that's to your advantage? It's to your advantage the fact that you never really had a wrestling background. You just kind of had a general background in sports.
Definitely, that's what the sport is. It's MMA. It's mixed martial arts. It's Muay Thai. It's wrestling. It's jiu-jitsu. Taekwondo. Boxing. Karate. Whatever martial art is out there that people can transfer over to the sport, you can put that all together and use it in the cage, in the ring. And I'm just happy I learned it all at once. That's all I can really say, because I don't have any idea of what just wrestling is, or what just boxing is, or what just jiu-jitsu is. I know how to do everything at once, all together, with all my coaches, whether it's in private or we're all there together. And I know what it's for, and we all know what we're reaching towards.
Now, you're fighting another relatively young guy, Chris Barnett, who is a young guy, 26 years old. He's a real lively personality. I follow him on Facebook. Maybe we'll try to get him on the show before the event. Nice guy. He has seems like most of his wins are by KO, TKO, but has decent wrestling. What do you think of Chris Barnett as an opponent?
You know, he's a really athletic guy. He's big and strong, and he's there to do his job better than mine. And, you know, I don't feel like anybody trains harder than me. And we'll see how the night goes. That's all I can say. I'm there to finish the fight just like every other fight. So you guys can't expect anything less from me than what I've done with every single other opponent. So you guys expect the same old me there, but with better skill and athleticism, speed and power and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that Mark Pavlich really appreciates that. If it's one thing that Mark Pavlich has emphasized over the last several years that I've interviewed him is the need to put on exciting fights for the fans. That's really what it's all about. And I know from your previous interviews that you strive to put on exciting fights for the fans by not going to the decision. And you look at your record sort of indicates that. So it's a perfect fit for a guy like you to be in the MFC. What do you think about the MFC and Mark Pavlich?
Mark is, you know, he's a crazy guy, and I love him. He treats me really well, and he's always there for me, whatever I need him for. So hats off to him for being such a great person, taking care of us fighters the way that he does. The MFC is a great show. You get great exposure, and the fans are great. The staff is awesome. I just couldn't pick anywhere better to be right now. This is the only opportunity I have, and I've taken it, and I couldn't be happier.
Absolutely. This is for the vacant MFC Heavyweight Championship. It's very, very exciting. I can't wait for this fight. I got to ask you, fans noticed that you have a lot of tattoos on yourself. These tattoos, what age did you start getting tattoos? And what do some of these tattoos signify?
You know, tattoos are, you got to look at it deeply in a person, right? My friends that know me can come up and look at my tattoos and understand what they're about. They understand the meaning behind them. You guys, you know, I can go up to somebody and show them my tattoos and explain it to them, but they won't really understand what they're there for because they don't know me fully as a person, you know? Whether it's hardships throughout my life or triumphs, whatever that is, it just, I found a way to express my personality through my tattoos. And I love them. I love them a lot, and I'm going to be getting a lot more.
Yeah, and that's usually the case. I mean, the tattoos are generally very personal to the individuals out there, and they tend to depict the life story, you know, chronicle what the person has been through and whatnot. How was your weight coming into this fight? I mean, I don't think you've really ever had problems making the weight. How would you categorize the weight? Because there's a 265 limit for this fight, I believe.
My weight is great. You know, I'm always at the top of the weight class, and you guys are going to see for yourselves. I look much better for this fight as I have for every other fight. And now you guys are going to see a totally different me. I can tell you guys that much. I'm training way harder. I'm looking better. I'm eating properly. Everything's going perfect. I feel great.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to just tell people, you have a website, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that is MMA-SmolinoRama.com. You could check out all of Smolino's activities there. Do you have any other sponsors you want to thank or anybody, anywhere you want to direct people to?
Definitely. I have to start out with my sponsors for sure. George Hype Fights there, you know. George, thanks a lot, man. You really helped me out. Smash MMA with hooking me up with gear. Victory Mouth Guards, Dr. Cishan. He does my dental work, and he made my mouth guard. Great mouth guard. Calgary Tattoo Company, my friend Moose, he does my all my ink and all that stuff. Dr. Ron Toma over at Optimum Wellness Center, I get all my chiropractic and massages and acupuncture done over there. He's a great guy. He takes care of me, keeps me nice and healthy. Also, Robbie Peluso out in Edmonton from Whiskey Rock Club. You know, you guys go check it out if you want to have some fun and you're in the Edmonton area. My coaches, Brad from Independent, Max Marin from Canuckles, Sheldon and Master Guy from Eight Weapons, Anderson from Tilt, and, you know, my managers, Frenchie, Keegan, and Brad Goldenstein again. You know, I love all you guys. Thanks for being there, my family and my training partners. You know, I love all the support, and I want to thank my mother a lot because, you know, I've been going through some hard times, and she's been there cooking for me and driving me around town, and she's really taking care of me. So I want to give a big shout-out to her. You know, I love you lots, and everybody that's there to support me, and you guys, thanks for having me on the show. And also Mark Pavlich, last but not least, and the Pavlich family and Scott. You know, you guys run a great promotion. You guys treat me like gold. I couldn't be happier with you guys.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, you sound great. You sound really excited. Sounds like everything's going right. You're only 20 years old and so successful in the sport, and you have so much more success to achieve in the sport. There's just no question about that. Good luck on May 10th at MFC 37, Smolino. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. Anytime you guys give us a shout, and we'll be glad to be on your show.
Absolutely. Take care, my friend.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, that was Smolino Rama here on Carson's Corner, conjunction with CageJunkies.com. And, you know, look, if I had to judge by the way he sounds like he's ready for this fight. I mean, you know, you never can tell until you watch a fight, but he sounds really, really focused. And I heard an interview with Chris Barnett not too long ago. I think he was on the Pro MMA show. I think it was on Sunday. And Chris also sounds ready to go too. This is a toss-em fight. If I had to give an edge, I would have to give an edge to Smolino. Based on, you know, his fights, based on how he's won some of these fights, and I think that he has more ways to win this fight than Chris Barnett. And I've seen Chris Barnett fight. He has knockout power, no question about that. He has good wrestling ability. He's very agile. He's actually fought Chris Barnett at over 265 before. I mean, he's been around 300 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. I believe I've seen him fight sometimes. He actually fought Mario Rinaldi, Chris Barnett. Let me look it up. Mario Rinaldi, of course, the ATT fighter, who I don't know if he's active anymore, but Mario Rinaldi is a super heavyweight. He's very, very big, very agile, again, for his size. But I don't think I haven't followed Chris's career enough to know whether or not. Yeah, that's correct. Chris actually fought Mario Rinaldi in 2010. I haven't followed Chris's career enough to know whether or not he's had problems making weight, but, you know, I don't want to jinx anybody and you know, sort of, but I think that, you know, basically it should be a good fight, but I just think that Smolino brings more tools to the table, and if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Smolino. Although, you know, MFC is known for not being predictable in terms of their fight results. There's just no question about that. There have been times where I picked a fighter to win and he winds up losing. So anything could happen at MFC 37. Pretty interesting stuff there, but we're really going to look forward to this fight. Really, really am. And the thing about it is, Smolino has been very, very active over the past couple of years. Okay, he started his career in 2011. He's had six fights relatively in a short time span, okay? And Chris is, you know, the last time he fought was almost 2 years ago. So you have to sort of take that into consideration. Is there going to be ring rust on the part of Chris Barnett? So that's why I'm picking Smolino. No disrespect to Chris Barnett. Really nice guy. Very, very good fighter. Very, very good personality. I'd encourage you to actually become friends with Chris Barnett on Facebook. You can actually do that through me if you go to facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA and be my friend too, okay, please. And then you can become Chris Barnett's friend because he's a friend of mine on Facebook. So we've got that coming up. I want to say that Mukai Maromo was on this card as well. Mukai Maromo, he's another guy that I predicted was going to win in his last fight. Mukai Maromo, that's got to be like the best MMA name out there, you know. Mukai Maromo, Mukai the Assassin Maromo. I picked him to beat Graham Spencer, but Graham Spencer defeated him. Mukai Maromo is almost like one of these Uriah Hall or Anderson Silva type fighters in the sense that he's a good developed striker, okay, and he has that Muay Thai background. He can put guys, take guys out, and that's always exciting to watch in any MMA event. So, you know, he's fighting on this card. Don't know much about his opponent, Kurt Southern. We'll have to see about that. And so that's you always have to look forward to Mukai's fights because they tend to be very, very exciting. I want to talk about the UFC on Fox card coming up. That's going to be very, very exciting, believe it or not. Well, you know, it's a good card. And then the following week you have the UFC here in New Jersey, which although it has stars on that card, I think the UFC on Fox card is better. But before I do, I got to talk about last week's Miesha Tate versus Kat Zingano. Now, you recall on the show that Kat was going to give Miesha a hard time because Miesha is 135 pounds. Miesha is probably she's not as big as Ronda. She wasn't as big as Ronda. And she wasn't as big as Kat Zingano. She's not as big as some of the women in her weight class. And now when Miesha fought Julie McKenzie, McKenzie's a decent fighter, a good stand-up fighter. She's not at the top of the MMA heap. Okay, there's just no question about that. She had difficulty. She had difficulty fighting Julie McKenzie. She almost lost the fight. She got hit with a high head kick and got staggered, and then she had to get the arm bar in round three. But, just from that fight, she's going to have trouble with some of the upper echelon fighters out there. And that's not to denigrate Miesha. Miesha has beaten some of the top fighters. Marlo Spoonin, okay. I believe Miesha beat Sarah Kaufman. Miesha has two or three losses. She lost to Ronda. She lost. Let me look it up. I'm just killing my kin. But I said that Miesha was going to have problems with Kat, and she did just that. She had problems with Kat, particularly in the second and third round where Kat started to use her wrestling. I wasn't overly impressed with Kat's stand-up, and I wasn't overly impressed with – I don't think she had – the thing that impressed me with Kat is her cardio and her toughness. She's a tough woman. No question about that. She's very hot, too. But that's what really, really surprised me. Her toughness and her endurance. Okay, we're back on the line here live on Carson's Corner. I don't know what the hell happened. I was going on this rant about Miesha and Ronda Rousey, and somehow I got cut off, and I'm really pissed off because it was a really good rant. I don't know where I left off, but I'll just I was going to move on to the UFC on Fox, but let me just give my analysis in case you missed it on Miesha or on Kat versus Rhonda, what I was basically saying was, is that if Kat had problems with Misha in the first round, and Misha was beating up, and Kat Zingano is notorious for being a slow starter, okay? If she had problems with Misha, what do you think is going to happen with Rhonda in the first round? I would be willing to bet that Rhonda is going to be able to get the upper hand on Kat and submit her and not give Kat a chance to warm up and get back into the fight and take over. If I were a betting man, that's exactly what I would say would happen, because Rhonda is obviously a tremendous judoka. She gets her opponents down, usually hip tosses her opponents down, okay, goes into a ketsutami or scarf position or however you want to say it, and she, you know, magically just gets the armbar almost every time. And it just, the way Kat looks and the way she fights, it'd be hard to imagine her not being susceptible to Ronda Rousey's attack. Now, anything could happen in MMA. Anything could happen. You never know until you get the two fighters out there. Is it possible that Kat can wave off the armbar and make it to the second or third rounds, where I think if Kat does do that, then she's almost a shoo-in to win that fight? Is it possible? Sure. I don't think it's likely. I don't. If I were Ronda Rousey, what I would do is, Ronda really has to develop striking skills. She has to develop other skills other than her armbar. So, though, listen, she's winning, you know, all her fights by first-round armbar. That's great. She's very talented. That's testament to her skill and her athletic abilities, no question like that. But eventually, she's going to be past the first couple minutes. Eventually, she's going to meet an opponent that's going to be able to get past the first round. It's inconceivable to conclude that Ronda Rousey is going to armbar everybody in the first round. If I were her, I would work on my cardio, because she looked a little bit gassed in her fight with Liz Carmouche. Again, looks could be deceiving. I don't know. But after Liz got her back and almost got the neck crack, Ronda looked a little tired. Ronda looked to have a little problems there. And she has to prepare for the probability, the slight probability that she could go into the later rounds with Kat Zingano. But again, from what I've seen with Kat, the thing that really struck me about her is her toughness, no question, a very, very tough woman. And her cardio. That's it. I wasn't impressed with her striking. She does have good knees in the clinch, but she didn't really land anything too devastating to Nisha besides those knees on the cage. And her cardio. Cardio is absolutely amazing. Her jiu-jitsu really wasn't that impressive, although she is a decent wrestler for MMA. For women's MMA, she is a decent wrestler. She's wrestled on a collegiate level, but besides that, I just think that she's going to be an underdog, and she's going to have her work cut out for her against Rhonda. Now let's take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about UFC on Fox. Okay, UFC 7 on Fox this Saturday. Very excited. I'm actually excited about several fights on this card. And the following week, you have UFC here in New Jersey. Was it UFC 159? I'm not sure. Chael Sonnen versus John Jones. We're going to talk about UFC on Fox, because I think that's the better card. And we'll do that right after this brief timeout here on Carson's Corner. Breaking news, they just caught a Mississippi man for allegedly sending members of Congress, including President Obama, poison letters. Interesting stuff. Very, very interesting times here in America. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com.
Get over here! We'll be right back.
All right, we've got the UFC on Fox, the seventh installment of the UFC on Fox. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about this card. I really am. I want to get the card in front of me because you have the main fights on there, of course. You've got Benson Henderson versus Gilbert Melendez. This is going to be a good performance for Benson Henderson. Benson Henderson has all the advantages going into this fight. He's used to fighting in the UFC. I think he's going to be able to muscle Gilbert Melendez around. And Gilbert Melendez is a very good wrestler and a very good striker. So, ideally, probably, if I had to guess, I would say that Gilbert's strategy going into this fight is going to be the opposite of Benson Henderson's strengths. I'm going to say that, Gilbert is probably going to try to land more shots, okay? Benson Henderson is not known as a knockout fighter. And I think ultimately that's what he's going to try to do. But I don't think he's going to be able to really negate Benson Henderson's power. And I think Benson is going to win a pretty decisive decision here. Okay. From there, you've got Daniel Cormier versus Frank Mir. Frank Mir is training now. I think he's with who's Frank Mir? I was reading he was training with Greg Jackson, maybe. And he's, of course, Frank Mir hasn't fought in a while. His last fight was versus Junior Dos Santos, in which he took a beating. And you have Daniel Cormier, who fought at the end of last year versus Deion Starring, a journeyman. And Daniel Cormier didn't look all that impressive. Cormier, the undefeated fighter, a little bit younger than Frank Mir, on the rise, great wrestling, decent striking. You'd have to give the edge to Daniel Cormier. I think this is going to be a decent fight for him in which he could showcase his skills, and he's going to defeat Frank Mir. I don't see Frank Mir being able to knock out Daniel Cormier, and I don't think he's going to be able to submit Daniel Cormier. I hate to say this, but I don't think that Frank Mir poses a threat to Daniel Cormier. And then you've got Nate Diaz versus Josh Thompson. Okay, that's another exciting fight, and I don't know who's going to win that fight. I tend to favor the UFC incumbents. I tend to favor those that are comfortable fighting inside the octagon and are not going to be, rattled by the rush, so to speak. And so that's why I'm probably going to go with Nate Diaz here, okay? I think that it's going to be an interesting fight. Both guys are very, very good strikers, and I don't want to sound like the Tony the Tiger announcer that Eddie Goldman describes. I got to tell you, I'm really frustrated. I'm very disappointed in Eddie because he hasn't liked my Facebook page. And this is one of these things where, I give out respect to people. I respect certain shows, okay? And I always do. And if I don't get that same level of respect back or that same level of promotion back, then I'm going to say screw it. I'm going to say it's not worth me even promoting your show or even supporting it if you're not going to extend that courtesy to me. And I think that's just – it's really unfortunate. It really is. And I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, there was a time where I interviewed – I was on Eddie's show for a while, and we covered events together. And then all of a sudden that stopped. And – whatever the reasons are, that's fine. I don't care. I'm just going on with my own career. But I'm really frustrated by people that offer you tepid support and don't support you overall. It's almost a sign of disrespect for me. And if you don't respect me, then that's it. Get the hell out of my way. I don't want to have any contact with people. Don't fucking respect me. And I'm sorry if I'm a little pissed off, but, you know, it's just for some people, some people can just be very, very difficult to get along with. I've worked with people in this industry for years. I could tell you I've worked with fighters for years. I worked with promoters for years. And, you know, what you see is what you get. I don't have these mood swings. I don't, get mad at somebody for posting something online. You know, what you see is what you get. I know what people are, and I generally try to accommodate people. I mean, when I was living with Dan Quinn, I mean, to this day, you know, sometimes living with Dan sometimes wasn't easy. Dan was going through a depression when I lived there. He was having problems with his kids. His kids were deserting him, and you know, his shoulder was injured. Dan wasn't pleasant to be around, but you know what? Dan and I are still friends, Dan and I are moving forward. And I always have a saying: if I can't get along with somebody, then I just don't want to have anything to do with them. And that exists with people in this industry. It also exists with family members and so on and so forth, and people at work. You know, if I don't get along with you, then that's it. You're out of my life, because I don't need any aggravation. I don't need my blood pressure to go up. Something with that, it kind of pisses me off, because I've always looked at Eddie as sort of a role model. I've always, you know, promoted him and plugged his shows and speak very highly of him. And then, you know, if you can't like my Facebook page or whatever, you don't want to associate with me, then don't associate with me. You know, I don't care. I've been in this business. I've been doing this for 6 years now. Okay. And all the insiders listen to this program. My audience has significantly increased over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And we're not getting paid here, and you want to talk about mainstream MMA media, we're not accepted by them. But that's a badge of honor. That is almost a testament to my ability. I don't want to be, you know, on these stupid, shallow, superficial MMA shows. I don't want to be part of this MMA, you know, fan culture out there. You know, people that are just enamored with Dana and the UFC the fighter lifestyles. You can just see it. These people, they try to dress and act like fighters. I don't care. You know, that's not where I want to be. I'm perfectly happy with doing with what I'm doing right now. I don't need, to be socially accepted and to be, you know, Ariel Helwani's friend. That guy Ariel Helwani is just disgusting. He makes me sick. He's a Zuffa shill, a hack who is just full of himself. Looks a certain way, acts a certain way. He has no meaning. Okay, he's just a piece of garbage. I'm sorry, the guy just makes me sick. He really does. How can you have respect to someone like that? But so many people will watch, you know, Ariel Helwani, some of these newer fans, and they see a young guy and a hip guy, and he talks a certain way, and Dana White likes him and whatnot, and they think that Ariel Helwani has, you know, some sort of credibility. And you can just go down the line with these you know, fans, these fanboys. I was involved with this sport before Ariel Helwani knew what MMA was. I was doing it. I love this sport. That's why I do this radio show, because I love this sport. I can't give it up. You know, I can't just say, oh, screw this, you know, whatever. I'm not on ESPN or, you know, we're not making money from this. I don't care. Making money has nothing to do with talent. Making money has nothing to do with, you know, almost nothing to do with the product that you offer nowadays. It's all about the connections. It's all about who you know. It's all about looking a certain way in our superficial culture. And so, I just, it's the Johnny come lately guys that are just, they're just nothing but fanboys, and they're not interested in a real analysis. They're not interested in really addressing, you know, some of the issues that has held MMA back, which, you know, MMA in America may be on the decline. Okay, there's just no serious discussion from a journalistic standpoint, and it's due to our culture. It's due to the culture that the UFC promotes and fans out there accept and just swallow down, and it's unfortunate. But nevertheless, we are a part of the MMA industry, and we will always be a part of the MMA industry. And nowhere, I don't give a shit what anybody says, nowhere, none of these radio shows offer what we do in terms of our interviews. We offer the best interviews out there, the most in-depth interviews, okay? Doesn't matter the style, doesn't matter, you know, who's hip, who's hanging out with Joe Rogan, who's on Joe Rogan's show, or who does Joe Rogan like. Joe Rogan means nothing. Means nothing. Nothing to me, okay? Not, you know, look, he's been around the sport for a while. He loves the sport, too. That's fine. He's a hip guy. He's a 40-plus-year-old man who smokes pot and trains jiu-jitsu and whatnot, and he's a hip guy, and the kids love Joe Rogan. He's a real hip guy, right? You want to be seen with Joe Rogan. And I don't care. I don't care what Joe Rogan thinks. He doesn't mean anything to me, you know? But this is the culture. This is really what MMA has turned into. It's turned into almost a spectacle out there where real analysis goes by the wayside. Because if you really, you know, that's why I go back to Eddie Goldman. I mean, you know, Eddie has the time to really, really explore these issues. I wish I could. I mean, I wish that I didn't have a full-time job and I wasn't a full-time student and, you know, I didn't have another radio show and I wasn't worrying month for month where I'm going to live and living in my car and dealing with this and dealing with that. I wish that I had the ability to really go into depth with, you know, some of these things. But you look at the level of analysis now. Look at a site like SureDog and all of their so-called journalists out there and so-called writers. It's just they don't address anything that's really worthwhile, in my opinion. There's a lot of emphasis about, you know, which fighter beat which fighter and who's who won by armbar. A lot of emphasis on just superficial matters, and there's no real in-depth analysis about the direction of the sport, about what it all means, about the media culture, and about whether or not mixed martial arts and the UFC have really, really mattered and really have benefited the sport and have lifted the sport up. And these are all debatable issues. But you're not going to hear that level of analysis because that's not accepted in the world of mixed martial arts. It's not. And anytime somebody tries to bring it up, like, for example, John Barr of ESPN, who did a piece, it was a year or two ago, about UFC fighters and the pay rate and all that stuff, it's just a sea of Zuffa, you know, propaganda that unfortunately influences a lot of people online, and that's where the fans of mixed martial arts are, primarily online. And it's unfortunate. It's like one oligarch says, you know, I could pay half of the community to devour the other half. And the Zuffa media guys, the Zuffa owners understand this concept, and it also relates to capitalism too, as well. We're just about out of here, okay? I wanted to give a big thanks to Smilino Rama, who joined us the first part of the show. Apologize for blacking out afterwards. We lost connection and whatnot. But we thank him for being on the show, and we encourage you to tune in to MFC 27. Now, I got to tell you, those that follow my political show, we've got some huge news regarding the political show. We're going to be on a network in the future with some really, really big names in the progressive community. We're talking about real left-wing commentary, real liberal left-wing analysis, not just the crap that you hear on MSNBC with the geek, you know, with the glasses and the DNC talking points, real progressive, independent, non-corporate sponsored analysis and what you can't find anywhere on the airwaves. That's coming up, so join me. I'll give you more information about that. Very, very excited about that. Just found out about this last night and so on and so forth. So stay tuned for that. But that's going to be it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. You can go on my Facebook page at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Please friend me. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And make sure to support CageJunkies.com. And you can also like the Carson's Corner page at facebook.com/Carson's Corner. As I told you earlier, a Mississippi man was arrested. Paul Kevin Curtis. Sounds like a right-wing nut job, does it not? Sounds like one of these Tea Party militia-type guys. He was arrested in connection with the letters that were sent to President Obama and a Republican congressman, I believe. So stay tuned for that. And also follow what's going on with Boston, the Boston Marathon terrorist situation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.